Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show coming up this week. Food and Wine Festival has begun, and some of us have had a chance to do it. We'll tell you what we thought. Also, it is no longer a rumor. Disney will be moving some of its Burbank operation to Lake Nona. And in a little while, I will do the I Told You So dance. There are also some DCL news I want to talk about this week, and there are a few stories that broke while I was away that I want to say some things on. And speaking of that, I'm also going to talk about my trip to Disneyland. All of that coming up next. From the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Diz Unplugged. Okay, well, welcome to the show. I don't know. My monitor is not showing me the intro.
Oh, so really?
I wasn't sure if the intro actually went out or people just sat here and stared at me like...
Oh, looking. It was there.
Okay. All right. Wasn't sure. Welcome, folks. Coming to you live from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined at the table this week by my good friends, Dreams Unlimited Travel Agent, Kathy Werling.
Hi, everybody.
Denny Sunderley.
Hi there.
Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
And our producer this week, Mr. Corey Fiascanaro.
Hey, everybody.
Is that your new line?
I don't really
Because you couldn't
have...
do welcome home on this?
No, I can't do welcome home on
and
this.
And so he gets confused?
Can't do howdy neighbor.
It's, be like,
it's very upbeat. It's nice.
Is that the doctor on The Simpsons who's like, hey, everybody. Dr. Nick.
All right. Well, welcome, folks. It is nice to have you. Great to be back after... a very enlightening trip to California that I'll get into in a little bit. But before we do that, just a reminder, this show, along with everything we produce, brought to you by DreamsUnlimitedTravel.com. I am an owner in Dreams, along with John Magi. And if you like our content, if you don't want to see Fiasco out on Orange Blossom Trail panhandling, then please book your next Disney vacation with Dreams Unlimited Travel. Does not cost you any extra. You will pay the same that you will pay Disney. Disney pays the commission. But you get an incredible agent like Ms. Kathy Werling, who will help you plan your trip, answer your questions, and when the world catches fire, be the one on the phone for 7 hours with Disney getting everything changed. So please, DreamsUnlimitedTravel.com. And also a reminder to everyone about the Diz Family Reunion that we are hosting September 9th through the 11th to raise money for Give Kids the World. The list of people that are attending this is just growing. Every couple of days, Stephen Amos from Give Kids the World says, hey, we just got this one or this one just confirmed. So, I mean, it really is an incredible lineup. Just to give you an idea, Pat Sajak, host of Wheel of Fortune, Tony Baxter, the former head of Walt Disney Imagineering, Chef Art Smith, Art Smith's Homecoming, he was Oprah's personal chef, Ridley Pearson, the author of The Kingdom Keepers, Lee Cockrell, who a lot of you know, former executive for Walt Disney World, has some great stories and experience. Of course, Jodie Benson, the voice of Ariel in The Little Mermaid. Linda Larkin, the voice of Jasmine in Aladdin. A ton of folks. There's going to be an attraction actors panel where some of the folks you're familiar with from some of the attractions, like the scientist in Avatar.
And Fly.
And what?
Right? That's what he says. Yeah.
Yeah, that's David Danipour, Ron Schneider, who was Dreamfinder in Epcot, which Kathy is going to be like fangirling. Kat Cressida, who is Constance Hathaway from The Haunted Mansion, Mark Silverman, the narrator at the Tower of Terror. They're also bringing out some great performers that we miss right now. Server Amuse from the France Pavilion, the guy that, you know, does the balancing on the 18 chairs. Yeehaw Bob is going to be performing. Good. Sergio the Juggler is going to be there. The band American Martian, formerly known as Mulch, Sweat, and Shears, will be in attendance. Return to Zero, formerly known as Four for a Dollar, will be in attendance. Off Kilter will be in attendance. The Palm Beach Society Orchestra, also known as the Grand Floridian Society Orchestra, in attendance. It's incredible. It's absolutely, we are so excited about this. Of course, we will be doing a live marathon show from this event, from the auction room that is being set up. And let me talk to you about the auction a little bit. Oh my God. Every so often, Stephen will send me, we just got this, we've got this, we've got this. I'm not going to have any money left. So we're going to be doing our live marathon, 12-hour marathon show from the auction room during this event. Don't have the exact date yet, but we will be there. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be incredible. And I know it's really close to October 1st when the anniversary happens, the Walt Disney World anniversary happens. But think of it like this. After October 1st, Disney World is going to be insane. It's going to be insane. Get your trip in early. Join us for this. Enjoy the parks with lower crowds than what you're going to find after October 1st. Then come back next year. Everything that's going on for the anniversary, everything, is going to be going on next year too. So think about that. Think about that. We're really looking forward to doing this, to seeing you guys. If you're interested in buying tickets, we also have the private after hours event at Galaxy's Edge. So we got a party. We're having a party. So gktw.org/DizFam. And we'll have links in the show notes as well. But we're really, really excited about this. So we hope you join us for that. Excuse me. I'm verklempt. Talking about Pat Sajak. Enough of nothing. When I mentioned to my mother, that Pat Sajak was going to be there, she lost it. Yeah. Oh, my God, Pat Sajak. I got to call your aunts. They've got to come down for this. So it's so like, sweet. I mean, she really, really got excited. So we're looking forward to it. Going to be. We've been trying to get this off the ground for a while now. And Stephen Amos at Give Kids the World is putting this all together. They're literally rolling us out. To do a show and do stuff. So we're really excited. All right. Let's talk about a few things.
Wait. We should just remind people really quick that if you're a Patreon supporter, you can don't forget we do our after show after this. So just I like to remind people because it's still new, so it's still like fresh in your head. That's open to all Patreon supporters. So if you're not a supporter, you're more than welcome to become one. That is patreon.com/DizUnplugged. And we just do kind of a unstructured chat afterwards.
We just chat.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm.
And Rhino has some stuff to talk about. I've got some stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
And on that, I will talk about things that I don't talk about on the show.
It's a riddle if I've ever heard one.
Well, you know, it's a little more relaxed.
Yeah.
I mean, not that we're not like relaxed here, but you know,
it is. It's different.
It's a more intimate audience. It's a more intimate audience. All right. So that's right after this, or right after I take a break.
Yeah.
But right after this show. All right. So Canada has announced they are allowing cruising to resume in 2022. Is it 2022? No, November 1st, 2021. Basically, the big news for us is that it looks like Alaska sailings will resume next year. The fact that alone for me is like, oh, thank God. Because this is two seasons that I've missed. And I usually do Alaska every year. Mm. And I've done it on Norwegian. I've done it on Royal. I've done it on Disney. Disney's the way to go. I know it's more expensive, but there's a reason it's more expensive. But they've also announced that they're going to start allowing fully vaccinated Americans into the country. Mm-hmm. So that was good news. But I feel good for the people in the ports
yes.
that earn their living for the year off of cruise season. Because a lot of them have been decimated. A lot of them have been decimated with this. A lot of places were decimated with it. But I was very happy to hear that.
Oh, absolutely.
Who else? Who's going to Alaska? Anybody? Anyone?
I've never done an Alaskan cruise. I've heard great things about it.
That's on my list.
Yeah. It's on your bucket list. Well, good year to do it. Take those future cruise credits you have and apply them. Speaking of future cruise credits, I used two of mine yesterday because I'm fairly certain. I don't have any inside information on this. This is all tea leaves. This is all tea leaves. But I think the first commercial sailing out of U.S. port, out of U.S. port for Disney Cruise Line will be the Dream on August 9th. And I feel good enough about that prediction that I went ahead and booked a room for myself.
Good for you.
Which is, you know, full payment. But here's why I feel that way. Test sailing just went out. Finally, it had to be delayed because of a cast member testing positive for COVID, which kind of defeats the purpose. But I think once that happens, they will get the all clear to resume sailing out of the U.S. That is the first one, I believe, that August 9th sailing that has not been canceled yet on the Dream. And that's a four-nighter, I believe. And yeah, I think that one, that's the one. I feel like I'm kind of playing roulette. Now, good thing is, if it does get canceled, future cruise credit.
Right.
So, yay. But I just have this gut feeling. We've been hearing about a lot of the entertainment cast being called back on normal contracts. And then last week, while I was out in California, saw the news that they were pushing the Maritime cruises for this year. That was the closest we have seen to Disney Cruise Line confirming that they're going to be sailing in November, that they fully expect to be sailing regularly in November. Because, you know, we've complained about it a lot. No information coming out of DC. The only information coming out of DCL is we're canceling cruises. That's it. And I've taken that up with a number of people and said, you're stupid by not being a little more transparent about what's going on. But nonetheless, I think August 9th is our sailing. I could be wrong. It's not normal for me to be wrong, but it happens because everybody told me I was nuts saying Disney was going to start moving jobs out of Burbank into Lake Nona. Turns out they are. Now, I was partially correct. I said in the article I wrote on movingtoorlando.com, I'm co-owner of that with Sean Falk, our real estate business, that Disney would start moving corporate jobs out of Burbank into Lake Nona, but also that they would build a master planned community similar to Celebration. That announcement has not come, and I don't know that it will. But just the fact, this is huge, that Disney wants, that's how pissed off they are at California right now. And I talked to a number of people while I was in California. They're not alone. It's mostly theme park positions. I think we're going to see some consolidation of positions here in Orlando and California into one place. So the movie studio, and I said this from the beginning, the movie studio is not going to move. But I also believe this is the tip of the spear. I don't believe this is the end of it. I don't believe this is the end of it. How far it will go is anyone's guess. But if you're thinking about, well, I got to watch. I'm a licensed real estate agent. There's certain things I can't say. Lake Nona is already a very hot area. Mm-hmm. And with a bunch of Disney executives moving out here, also being given presumably moving and closing perks by the company to relocate them, we're going to have more people looking to buy houses in the area.
Oh, yeah.
That's as far as I can go. That's as far as I can go. But I love when I'm right. I love when I'm – now I'll be doing a serious happy dance on August 9th if I'm doing it from the deck of the dream.
Right, if you're actually on the ship.
I was watching the ship come in yesterday morning, and I did that before, but they didn't. I guess the camera operator doesn't come into work now because it's been how many months, 16 months since I've sailed?
Like 170
years. And it's like, come on. You're supposed to follow the ship down the channel. And Katie goes, come on. It's been a while. This is the first ship. But it was exciting to see it go out and then to see it come back.
And there is absolutely no truth to the rumor that Kathy has to watch these things online because she has a restraining order against her because of attempts to get on the ship. There's no truth to that.
I so miss going on the ships.
Oh, my God. It's insane. Like, yes. Of all the things I miss, and there's a lot of them, that top of the list. Mm-hmm. That is the top of the list. Did I cry when I got to Disneyland? No, I did not. I will cry getting on the ship.
I cried at Disneyland.
No, you cry at Publix.
It's true. I do. I really do.
So, but I'm fairly certain. I'm fairly certain we're going to hear more about Disney moving, more and more positions out here. And I'm fairly certain we're going to see August 9th. This is the first cruise I've booked. This is the first cruise I've booked and paid for in full since the pandemic started. So that's how strongly I feel about it. Now, again, I have no information whatsoever to suggest that I am correct. This is just a gut feeling, not telling you to go out and buy anything. I'm just telling you what I did. But if you are going to go buy something, dreamsunlimitedtravel.com, you get a great shipboard credit. That's all I'm saying. All right, what else do I have to talk about here? Okay, this will kind of weave into the other things I want to talk about. The announcement that Disneyland Paris was going to bring FastPass back as a paid option. Am I surprised by this? No. Because I think 2 years ago, we were talking about the likelihood that FastPass, once they started giving like special perks to concierge guests for FastPass, they were going to start charging for it. But I also said in shows during the pandemic, gird your loins, because stuff that used to be free is going to have a price tag attached to it, because the company lost billions with a B of dollars during this. They are a publicly traded company. They are not an entitlement program. They are not a halfway house. And they are going to start looking for ways to charge for things they didn't used to charge before. Now, am I happy about that? No, I'm not. But, and I know we have some disagreement here. Mm-hmm. For example, the decision to make extra magic hours after the park closes available exclusively to deluxe hotels. Okay, I've been of one mind on that, and then we were talking before. And now I'm starting to feel a little, I'm not sure which way I go on it. I think the part of me that says Disney is a business, plain and simple, Disney is a business. And they have to make decisions based on that. They have to make decisions based on that. Do I like the trend, the precedent of saying guests that stay in this hotel are more important than guests that stay in this one? No. No, I'm not at all okay with that. And I think Disney is being very short-sighted in some ways with that policy. Because let's all remember why the All-Star Resorts were built in the first place. To keep people on property. I remember the days before the All-Stars existed. And the number of people that stayed off-site. Mm-hmm. Highway 192, Lake Buena Vista area. There's a reason those hotels exist. And it's not, they're not like movie props. They're hotels and people stay in them. Because they're a lot less expensive than staying on property. You start shredding perks from on-site resorts. There is no reason for people to stay in them. And what you will get from that is absolutely no goodwill from your guests. But you will get a really nice thank you basket from the hotels on Highway 192. Because that's where people are going to say, okay, listen, if I'm not getting, that was a big perk, right? Getting into the parks early, mm-hmm. staying in the parks late, mm-hmm. granted, big perk. But when you start looking at, oh, this room at the All-Stars is $140 a night, and this room at the Holiday Inn a mile and a half away is $60 a night, $70 a night. Well, I can rent a car.
I mean, you'd be better off with the transportation at this point.
Oh, yeah.
That's the other half of that, too. You know, what the other benefit was the buses and being able to get to and from the park so you can be there and not. How long is it before they start pulling that back? I mean, it already isn't what it used to be, and I understand that they don't have the staff right now for that. I feel like there's a lot of, you need to understand what's going on right now. And I want to be like, we do understand what's going on right now. You're charging more than you were before the pandemic for a much less product, much less mm-hmm. options, much yes. less things. And now you're saying that you're going to take even more away from people. Like, what is your problem?
Well, you know? But, and again, we're going to kind of lean into this a bit more on the Disneyland part of the discussion. Number one complaint, pre-pandemic, parks are too crowded. Parks are too crowded. There's too many people. Too much work is required. We live in a capitalist society. We live in a supply and demand economy. And I'm going to piss some people off with what I'm about to say. But a lot of people scream about socialism. We don't want socialism. We don't want social until it comes to their theme park vacation. And then all of a sudden they want socialism. And I realize that's very harsh and it's very extreme. And the truth is a lot more nuanced, but you get my point. They are a business and the market will determine whether or not these changes are any good. Okay? Because I've always said there will be that tipping point. Mm-hmm. there will be that tipping point. At some point, it's just going to be outside the reach of the average American family, and they won't go. And if you don't think that is part of the larger strategy here, you're crazy. How else are they going to keep crowds low? They can't just say, okay, we're going to cut our capacity and half and charge the same thing. They're going to have to raise the price. And we've talked about this. This is not the first time this discussion has come up on this show. They are going to have to raise the price to lower the crowds. And all of a sudden, a lot of people are going to be boxed out. COVID gave them a gift. The park reservation system.
Ew.
Yeah. None of us like it. But from Disney's standpoint, they can now control how many people are in a park. And they can adjust their pricing on their tickets. Mm-hmm. They can adjust their pricing to make sure they're making they're hitting the dollar number they need to hit. And if you think that's going to stop with ticket prices, you're insane. You're going to need a mortgage application for a cup of coffee at some point. This is where it's going to go, folks. I was saying this a couple of years ago. I was saying it last year. I'm saying it again now. This is where it's going to go. The speed at which it goes there, the method by which it gets there, I don't know. But it is time that we gird our loins. The next big reveal, on exactly how this is going to happen is when annual passes come back.
Yes.
Fast passes, you're going to have to pay for them. And I got to be honest. And I'm somebody like, I'm in that high affinity group that will spend on this. I do not see myself spending what they're charging in Disneyland Paris. What was it, like $5 per euro or €5 per person per attraction? Something like that?
It's more than that.
$9 is what it equated to. It was
$9.
Minimum,
yeah, because it went to 20, I think, right? It was like 9 to 20 was the scale.
No.
I feel like what they're going to do with the fast passes is have a paid system like they had for photo pass. But then what I think they're going to do is they're going to use that to justify the price increase of the better annual passes to say, oh, you get this fast pass worked into your no block update annual pass. That's why it costs so much more.
I think that's very possible. I also think they might integrate it. I think more likely they'll integrate it as, okay, we're making some fast passes available free, but it'd be very, very limited. But you can also buy your fast pass and guarantee you'll get on.
That was one of the benefits of having an annual pass. I didn't really care if I had fast passes.
True.
Because I could come whenever I wanted, and if it was busy today, I could come back tomorrow.
Exactly.
But for families who don't have that luxury.
Right. For locals, that's great.
But for families who this is their once-in-a-lifetime trip or their once-to-every-2 to 3 years trip, they're gonna have to say, okay, well, Bobby Sue wants to ride this ride, and the only way to guarantee it is to be able to pay for it in advance. So all of a sudden, I mean, yes, it's all about money. All of a sudden, mm-hmm. they're just adding more and more extras to their package to be able to come to Walt Disney World. And I was super clear 2 weeks ago when we had this discussion regarding extra magic hours being only for deluxe resort guests. And it is, I'm glad it's interesting to hear your take on it now, Pete. It's just disheartening is what it is for families who have had this perk for so long to all of a sudden have that be taken away. And I understand that they had backed off, you know, back in the day we used to be in the Magic Kingdom until 2 a.m. I know that had changed in recent years. It was more like 11 or midnight.
Well, in recent years, you you know, if they were going to do the after hours thing, you paid for it. That was a hard ticket.
Right. I'm just talking about if you're a resort guest getting to be in a little bit later for these extra magic hours, you know, not counting in the after hours events, not having those perks or having it become almost a class. I hate to say class system or a case system, but a class, it's almost classicism, but to be able to say, okay, these people who have paid above this threshold can now enjoy these perks. And I know it's a business. I understand that. I know we all do. I know we all know that things are costing more now than they did pre-COVID. However, it's just hard to swallow when it's something that you've had all along and now will no longer be able to have unless you are staying in that deluxe resort.
I love what you just said, because now it went from the attractions being class system of A, B, C, D, E, and now we, yes, the people, yes, are E ticket or A ticket or, right, B ticket.
And mm-hmm, I'm not going to sit here and suggest I'm okay with that.
Right.
I'm not going to suggest I'm okay with that. There have always been a base set of perks for staying on site.
That's why I came to Disney in the first place, mm-hmm, because as a single parent with three kids, I knew what was included in my park experience. And sure, if I wanted to go to a Halloween party or something, I could pay extra for that.
But
I didn't need to.
But what they're going to do, this is my guess, okay? Because the response to this has been pretty universal.
Yeah.
Okay, this is not okay. So what they're going to need to do is create new perks for everyone or for certain, a value and moderate.
That makes sense.
That didn't exist before, that people are like, oh, okay. Okay. I don't know what that perk would be.
Do you honestly think they'll do that? Maybe.
I think if they start having trouble filling the All-Star, yeah, and the value in the moderates, yeah, they're going to have to. Again, it's capitalism.
I think the problem that's starting to emerge, though, is sort of what you talked about, Danny, with the being a caste system, 100%, is that they're removing a base experience that everybody was on, mm-hmm, the same level. So, okay, so I pay the ticket to come into the park, and now I have to pay to do everything in the park? No, I don't have to pay. But imagine you fast pass right now. Well, it's free how long the line is, and let's say everybody paying to do it or whatever. But there's still, no parade. There's some fireworks show. So what are you getting if you're not going to actually do just the ability to stand in the park?
Okay, and this... Let's pivot a little bit into Disneyland.
Yeah.
Okay? Because when I got to Disneyland, let's just say we were not amused by certain things. Staying at the Grand, I decided to splurge and stayed up on the concierge floor. I won't go into how much that cost. It was a lot. But I figured, having traveled in 18 months, there's all this money I haven't spent, and I just want something special. So I decided to splurge. Only to find out when I got there, trash and towel service only.
Right.
No. No. I did have a chance to... oh my God, I almost cursed. I had a chance to sit and chat with Ken Potrock, who is the president of Disneyland. I had met Ken first when he was running Adventures by Disney. And I said this to him. I said, absolutely not. Because everything is, it's because of COVID. Well, funny, you've cut back your service. You didn't cut back your price. Mm-hmm. In fact, the price was a lot higher, mm-hmm, than it used to be. And I noticed this everywhere. I noticed it everywhere that the menus were dramatically scaled back. First of all, good luck getting a reservation anywhere. Mm-hmm. Insane. But menus dramatically scaled back, prices scaled up. And one of the big excuses I heard everywhere I went was, oh, well, we're understaffed. We're understaffed. We're understaffed. Well, I'm not undercharged.
Right.
Okay? I'm not undercharged. Now, I did have a good conversation with Ken. And I talked with a lot of my friends before this out, you know, who live in Southern California, who were Disneyland annual pass holders for years and years. And I said, you know, because we were talking about the annual pass program, and whatever they do out there is going to be pretty similar to what they do out here. And I think we're going to see it there first. And I'm like, you guys know you're going to get screwed, right? What surprised me, every one of them said the same thing. We're a little okay with that.
Oh, really?
There are too many people with annual passes. The parks are too crowded. And we think they should make it tougher to have one. And something that Ken had said to me, which I actually was glad to hear, the days of us packing as many people into this park as we can are over. But people are going to have to pay for it. But he's also, you know, this is what I really liked. They've surveyed annual pass holders to within an inch of their lives. That, you know, some annual pass holders want this, some want this, some want this. They are building multi-tier programs.
That's scary.
To try and address what, you know, it's a balancing act.
Yeah.
It's a balancing act. And the reality is, I mean, let's be honest, any of us that have been out to Disneyland, there are days, and there's many of them, where it's impossible to move. It's impossible to get down Main Street. And we've had the same thing here. So if that's like the big complaint, you know, Disney just can't magically like pluck people out of the park when it's too busy.
But they also didn't discourage it. I mean, like Christmas Day here at Magic Kingdom, when it's wall-to-wall people, I didn't see somebody higher up at Disney going, oh, wait, we let too many people in.
They didn't discourage it. They didn't discourage it. But the programs that are about to come down, I don't know this for a fact. I was not given any details at all. I don't know. I'm a sentient human being with an IQ of about 50 and a pulse. There's only one way to do it. There's only one way to do that. The only way to discourage it is to raise the price. There's no other way. Coupled with the park pass system, which I promise you is never going away. It is never, ever going away. They never could have implemented that pre-COVID. Mm-mm. But being able to control the number of people going into a theme park, balancing that out with how much they're charging and how much they're getting. Why would they walk away from that?
Well, you know, we don't really ever think about that too. That 'cause at Disneyland, that was a thing that I started realizing is, you know, they charge you the same amount or more for like the hopper pass, but I can't go to the other park as much. Like I can't hop until after one there. And it was the first time, because there it's different than here, because the two parks are literally kissing each other almost, is that you can just go from place to place. That one morning I was like, oh, like shoot, I need to go over here, but I can't leave this park until one. So you can't do that back and forth thing. So again, I don't think we look at that enough either, being like, what's the point of paying for the hopper thing? I'd say maybe even save the money because the parks aren't open. They were only open till 9 and 10 each time we were there, which wasn't super late in the summertime. Like, so you don't see the nighttime stuff a lot. So you can't really get back and forth that same way either. I'm having that thought where you're talking about this.
You know, look, am I happy about any of this? No, I'm not. I'm just trying to deal in reality. Whether I'm happy about it or not, whether you're happy about it or not, this is what's coming.
I think Disney, I don't know where they need to do this. There's still an awful lot of people out there that are like, now that it looks like COVID's easing up a little bit, like, oh, when are the discounts coming out? You know, like the fall discounts that, but now Disney seems to target their discounts. I've had people asking for free dining. It's like, you know,
aren't they cute?
Yeah. Disney's trying to think of ways to make more money, not give money away.
Well,
how do you educate people that it's a new day?
Well, it's the same way we educated people on things back in the day when I started the Diz back in 97. You just say, okay, this is what's happening now. This is what's happening now. And we're going to be saying that for a long time because everybody was so used to it being a certain way. And there's a new way. It's a new day. There's a little song there. I think it was a Celine Dion song.
Right? Yeah, I was just going to say.
I'm so gay.
That wasn't one of the lyrics, I don't
think. I just did.
Yeah, it's your version.
New way, new day, I'm so gay.
Yeah.
That's my song. But really, and folks, we've trained them to do this. How many times have we talked about the belly aching and screaming that goes on when this price increases or that price increases? And then as soon as we're done screaming, we've got our wallets out and we're handing it over. Which, you know, I've said it many, many times. I used to complain about the ticket prices until I was standing at guest services one day, buying my next annual, you know, renewing my annual pass at the price point I was just yelling about on the show the day before. And I said, you know, you're going to give them the money? Shut up. Shut up about it. If you're going to pay it,
stop it's driving.
A, you know, the same thing, you know, as I say, it's a free market economy. If we don't pay for it, they won't do it.
And can I also say, I saw in the YouTube comments from the last discussion that people were saying, oh, the Dreams agents will push for you to stay at a deluxe resort. That's not how we work. We get you what you want, and we ask you questions. And, you know, I'm not going to push a deluxe resort just to get a bigger commission.
Okay, yeah, and just so everybody knows, I don't hire used car salesmen. Okay, a lot of the comments being made on that. I wasn't going to go there, but it's your fault.
Sorry.
A lot of the comments being made were so ridiculously unfair, untrue, and unfounded. Every single agent that works for Dreams, every single one, is told the same thing over and over and over again. Your first loyalty is to your client. Whatever they want, that's what you're going to work to make happen. We don't sit there and try and upsell into a more expensive resort, especially if we don't think it's right for the client. We don't try and upsell into this particular package because we make more money. We do just fine. We do just fine. We don't have to do that. And even if we didn't, even when we didn't, even these past 18 months, when John and I are fighting like hell to keep everybody employed, we didn't do that. So, yeah, stuff like that. But, you know, those people are, if you're one of them, I'm talking to you, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about, so shut up. Shut up. You don't like it? Go somewhere else. Watch another show. I don't need your bullshit. Yeah, your fault. I stopped myself. But you can finish that sentence. Don't need it. Really and truly, don't need it. We have always, always tried to speak our truth. Sometimes you don't like it. Not going to stop me from doing it. A lot of times Disney doesn't like it. Hasn't stopped me from doing it. And they could crush me like a bug. They could crush me like a bug. Who am I? What am I? At a travel agency. You know, I'm a fat gay guy with a YouTube channel who has a chip on his shoulder. They could crush me like a bug. They haven't. And I'm not encouraging them to do that. But always told the truth. as I saw it. Hardest thing I ever did last March, 2 weeks before the park shut down, was get on this show and tell people, don't come here. It's not safe. Don't come here. It was one of the hardest. I had never talked with John before, which John was 100% on board because he's like, okay, if you weren't going to say it, I was. So, yeah, we don't do business like that. I don't do business like that on anything. Never have, never will. But this is where things are going. This is where things are going. It's not. I saw it out in Disneyland, and I loved being out there. I'm not going to say I didn't. Cast members were amazing. Avengers Campus. Mm-hmm. And I'm not like crazy Avengers guy. I'm not like crazy Marvel guy. Oh, my God. This was phenomenal. That attraction, the web slingers.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
And then the marketing, genius. Genius. So the web slingers attraction, you do hand motions and attract your hand motions in 3D. And you're like slinging webs to try and stop the bad guys or the bad little. Oh, there he is.
The spider bots.
The spider bots. But you can go in the store and you can buy an apparatus that you wear on your wrist that gives you more abilities when you're on the ride. Nah. Yeah, I was all in.
See, I'm not opposed to experiences like that, that you can still go do the experience as a regular guest, and there's some built-in thing where you're like, mm-hmm. Oh, like you're a big fan of this? Well, I've got a cool thing that might be for you and it might not be for everybody else. Like, I don't mind that stuff as long as it's not taking away from somebody else.
Everybody was walking around with them on, too.
I mean, this is the first day it's not in my backpack with me. I still play with it here. So I'm like, I'm like, you know, and that was the decision where I was like, oh, I'm not always here. I don't know. Do we need this? Like, whatever. But I was like, no, I'll pack that in my suitcase next time I go. I know I'm going to use it again. And it was, you know, and if my friend wants to borrow it when they go on, I'll let them wear it. You know what I mean? If they don't want to get it or anything. But it's one of those where I'm like, I don't think not having it takes away from the attraction at all. You know, and that, I know that was a big concern. People were like, oh, the only way to get a score. And I'm like, no, I actually think like, one time I did it with just the hands. I was like, that was so fun because it's a different type of an experience. It's not like all of a sudden you became better at the game. You still could suck. So it's not like this machine's going to make you better.
Do you agree with me? Pim's Test Kitchen overrated.
I feel like, okay, so because, I was the only one out there that really drinks is that I enjoyed the like that aspect of it, like what they did with the drinks, and they had some really good beer on tap. Like if you're a beer, there's a marshmallow beer, try it. Just get the full size one. Don't even do the tester. I do feel like I wish the menu had more like a cohesive variety. I enjoyed the chicken sandwich. I know you didn't love that, but there wasn't like other things where I was like, ooh, got to get that next time. Got to do that next time. I was like, I've eaten there and you know,
generally speaking, though, I found the food that trip bland. There was something missing. There was something missing. And it didn't matter where I was, whether it was quick service or.
You know what I thought was terrible, actually, was Cafe Orleans. Was that the first sit down we went to?
I think so.
I knew the food wasn't bad, but I thought it was terrible. It had 4 items on the menu.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
4 items. That was it. And 2 of those were a deep fried sandwich. Why not just at all sandwiches? It made no sense. So that's why I was like,
but you know what? Again, your options are limited. Your dates are limited. This is limited. That's limited. The only thing that's not limited is how much they're charging for. Mm-hmm. There's no limit to that. And I think part of my problem was that even though, you know, I'm fully aware of everything that's going on, like everybody else, my desire to go back to Disneyland was my desire to go back to the Disneyland I experienced in 2019. And front of mind, I understood the difference, but subconsciously I didn't. So the first couple days I was out there, I was like, oh, wait, this... I don't know. Now, in all seriousness, by day three, I'm like, oh my God, I'm in Disneyland. And I was feeling much, much better. There was also an anxiety that I had not really considered, because I've been to the parks here and I've, you know, out doing things. There was an anxiety in traveling that I wasn't expecting. Not just getting on a plane, but just being in crowds like that. And indoor crowds. And got to a point where I had my mask with me and I didn't have to wear it, but I started wearing it when I was inside. I'm like, I just want to be, I'm vaccinated, but why? Yeah. Because, you know, we talk about breakthrough infections, and if I didn't have bad luck, I'd have no luck. So I'm like, I'm not just not messing around with that. But if I feel uncomfortable, you know, that I like. I like to have the option. If I feel uncomfortable, I can put a mask on. And if I don't feel uncomfortable, I don't have to. I like that. But then, like I said, after a couple days, I kind of settled in. Oops. I kind of settled in.
That's a good word. Just another good reminder for those who are coming here to Disney World, too. Like, the parks are different. They're different. You wanted the Disneyland from 2019, and we want the Walt Disney World from 2019 so badly. I want every single restaurant around World Showcase to be open and bustling. I want the international college program cast members back. I want all of that international, just those people back, those faces that I'm used to seeing, and they're not back yet. Like, it's a different experience right now. Not everything is what it was just yet. So it's interesting to hear you say, you know, it happened to you. You got out to Disneyland and thinking, remembering, and holding a memory that is not quite the same. Quite yet.
No.
But to hear you that you warmed up by day three, that's encouraging.
And I'm also really now trying to keep that in mind for my August 9th cruise on the Dream, because that's going to be different too, assuming it sails.
Well, back to the housekeeping on the concierge level, that I know they've done that.
Oh, yeah. Once I bitched about it?
Yeah.
Next day. Everybody had housekeeping on that floor. I don't know. Maybe other floors were getting it too. I don't know. But I know that.
Do you think that's going to come back, or that's another excuse to cut?
I'm going to tell you now. Personally, I'm not going to pay. Though I'm not even just talking concierge. I'm not going to pay Disney hotel prices and not have daily housekeeping. Not going to do it. There are too many other hotels, both around Disneyland and around Disney World, that if that's where this is going to go, we're going to start doing that BS. I would have a problem with that. I know there are people who are fine with it. And I would be fine with it if you were saying, hey, listen, if you want daily housekeeping, the price is this. And if you want to waive daily housekeeping, the price is this. All right. But if you're going to say the price is this and no daily housekeeping,
yeah,
that I think there's a limit to what people are going to be okay with.
I see Marriott's trying to do that also, that they're not going to offer daily housekeeping. And it's like, okay, are you going to lower your prices? Which they haven't done either. It's like... I don't know. When I'm in a hotel and you're in a small space, I liked having daily housekeeping.
Yeah. I think a lot of us do. I think a lot of us want.
Didn't see that as a perk.
No.
I saw that as part of the cost of why I paid for that hotel.
Right. Yeah. That's not a perk. That's no.
So in addition to that, did they offer anything at the concierge lounge at all?
Oh, yeah. No, the lounge was full service. It was like it always was. Great lounge. Like I said, no, I mean, that was great. The lounge itself. And the lounge is really nice. It's not worth the premium you're paying. It just isn't. Not worth the premium you're paying for it. And because depending on what room you had, that premium could be $500 a night. And there's nothing going on in that lounge. Nothing worth $500 a night. Now, if you just like it and you're okay dropping that money, would I do it again right now? No, absolutely not. I would not. Not that the staff wasn't wonderful. Not that the food they were serving in the lounge wasn't wonderful. But I just walked around for a week and not worth it. Not worth it. I was okay splurging, like I said. Happy, you know, it's been a year and a half since I've traveled. And okay. But would I do it again? No. Not right now. Not right now. I want more for that money. You really have, and I'm going to look at all hotels like this. Now, as a DVC member, my experience staying at a DVC resort, in a DVC room, is very similar to what it was prior. So that feels great. That feels great. But as a hotel guest, because this was my first time as a hotel guest, right, post, you know, after COVID, my first time, I'm like, oh. Love being a DVC member, by the way. Love being a DVC member. I mean, can never get a room out there at the Grand Californian because...
Got on there.
It's really hard to get a room there. If you don't own there and you can't do the 11-month window, it's really hard to get a room. I mean, you can, but it's just a challenge. But it was a nice trip. I'm glad I got away. I realized how out of shape I've gotten through COVID because, like, really going around parks morning till night and the number of times I'm like, I got to sit down. And just really feeling exhausted. Really feeling exhausted. So I'm like, okay, you got some work to do. Got some weight to lose. You got to do some other things, you know.
I never slept so well as I did in that hotel. Amen. Is the thing. I it was crazy. You can ask Mary Jo too. It's just like I don't know what it was. I was functioning at such a great level. I would wake up at 6:45, get the boarding group for Web Slingers, and then I would be like, I'll just get up and get dressed. And I was like, what is life? And then, I would be awake till like I was there till it closed every day. So I was there till probably after that. So it was like, I definitely wasn't even back in the hotel until like 11:30 and then go to bed. But I was like, boom, I was going. I was loving it. There's a thing where I'm like, God, I miss sleeping in that bed. California was just so good.
The beds were really nice.
Wow.
Beds were really nice. Were you getting daily housekeeping?
After you had mentioned it, I noticed.
And you weren't a concierge. You were on that floor.
No,
you
weren't a concierge guest. So. I also am one of those people who if I'm there for 7 days, I don't not want it for 7 days, but I don't need it every day. So I'm one of those people where I'm like, every like 3 days, I'm fine. It depends. If I'm rooming with Craig, it's a lot of towels everywhere. A lot of towels.
But it's the same way here. Walt Disney World is not doing housekeeping every day for hotel guests. So it's great to keep in mind as people plan trips. It's just not happening right now.
Yeah, that's right. I've forgotten that. Like I said, I haven't done a hotel stay, like a hotel stay here. I've done DVC.
Yep.
And like I said, we're used to it with DVC, that it's trash and towel. But it was a great trip. I'm glad I went. Got to see some Mary Jo, Nancy,
yeah.
Who, like, they're just so good for the soul to be around those two. Their kids. That whole family aspect, that whole connecting, that was the highlight of my trip. Was the absolute highlight of my trip. I've known those guys for 20 years. They're my family. And so connecting with them and spending that time and doing it there in Disneyland, that was special. That was the highlight by a mile, the highlight of my trip. So, all right. That is going to do it, folks, for this week's episode of our show. We hope you enjoyed it. Just a reminder, if you are a Patreon supporter, stay tuned. We'll be doing our after show in just a few minutes. But until then, thanks for being with us, folks. We'll see you again next week. And remember, stay out of the damn lakes.